need to have the Church Center app today, folks, because you're going to need to follow along. We're going to start diving in to a message God laid on my heart while on sabbatical. So you're going to want to download the Church Center app and follow along, and then you're probably going to need to go back and review those notes in the days here this week. And while you're doing that, you also can check out the devotional that we put out each week. There's a several-day devotional that will be concentrating on the message from Sunday morning. You can check that out as well. Hey, you wake up every morning and you go and do your short devotional that the church puts out about the message. Then when you come back on a Sunday, in a few weeks on a Wednesday, you will be ready to go for the next week, right? Also, we put out podcasts to on the messages for each Sunday. You know, I was traveling this past week. I was out of town going up to Cleveland, and I guess that's out of town traveling. But, you know, I listened to myself on the podcast, right? Boy, he wasn't very good, right? But I listened to myself. So we do put out a podcast, and you can listen to that at any time. Download that from your favorite app store, right? So thank you. Guess what? When we left church, we had a Sunday, the first Sunday of January, where we had Vision Sunday. And I launched us into the year of increase. God had really laid on my heart, it is time. Last year it was about impact. This year it's about increase. And we're going to spend the next 8 weeks talking about impact into increase. Now, you're going to hear a lot of that. Now, if you're not wanting to hear that, well, so can't help you there, because God laid on my heart when we are on sabbatical that we're going to do that. And so we're going to launch that today in a series called Positioned for More. Now, I am absolutely convinced, and God laid on my heart, that the people in the church, God's people, don't realize that they are placed in a position of increase. You know, we get stagnant, like we get stuck right where we're at, and that is not what God intended. Now, today I'm going to be preaching a lot of foundational things to set the stage for the next many weeks that we will be talking about this. Some of it you may have heard before, some of it you'll say, I never heard that. But we're going to dive right in. In 2026, we are believing God for increase. Not just in numbers, but in depth, faith, leadership, generosity, and influence. This series will be an 8-week journey into a biblical study of spiritual increase and its application in our lives. We will discover how God grows his people from the inside out and builds habits to allow his increase to take root and then be multiplied in their lives. You know, humans were created for more, the Bible says, for purpose and fruitfulness and to advance our lives. We were never, ever created to be stagnant. Never. So let me tell you, you know, the scientists of our country figured this out, right? Back in 1986, there was a study put out. I stumbled on this just the other day. I thought, you've got to be kidding, Lord. They actually studied increase in people's lives and why they seek to change and move and advance. It was called the Self-Expansion Theory Study of 1986 by Dr. Arthur and Elaine Aron. Now, I started reading the whole study and I said, wow, that's pretty deep. I'm not that smart. But I looked up and found out what the core of the study was about. It was about the fact that humans are motivated to do three primary things. They expand their identity, who they are. They expand their capabilities, what they can do. And then they expand their influence, who they impact. Go figure, right? That is exactly what God created us to do. And it took science up to 1986 and beyond to figure it out. That God already wired you like that during creation. And then I read how people do that, how people do this expansion in their own minds, their identity and what they do and who they impact. How do they do that? And they do it in that study by building relationships with other people. Church. That's called the Church of Jesus Christ. That's what we do here. Nothing against the people who are online, but it's not the same experience. We love our online followers and the many people that join us online on our broadcast. We thank you and we love on them and we have relationships with them, but it's just not the same, the coming in here on a Sunday morning. It's not the same. There's no surprise that God hardwired us for this increase. God created a world, right? We talked about this last week. And let me recite this again, because on Easter we talked about design and intent, and God created a world where his people would live in his place, remember, under his rule, and then enjoy his blessing. Increase is the multiplying of God's blessing, abundance, and divine provision. See, God wanted you to live under his blessing, but he never intended you to be stuck in the same position forever. God wants us to move forward in increase. So for the next 4 weeks, we're going to talk about the theology of increase. Pastor, what does that mean? It means just the study of it. What is it? Now, if you know anything about the Bible, folks, you'll realize that the word increase and more and advancement and all those things in God's word is just from the front to the back. It is a lot, it's deep, and we could never go and finish it in 8 weeks. So we're going to have to be selective on what we do, and that's what we're going to start today. So the first 4 weeks, we'll talk about what is increase. Weeks 5 through 8 on Sunday, we'll talk about stewarding the increase. What do we do with it? What do we do with it? And then Wednesday night, like Pastor Mike talked about, starting on April 22nd, Wednesday night, we're going to come together for some pizza, some chips, and have some fellowship. And then we're going to come in here and we're going to study, after worship, we're going to study the 6 habits of your increase. You build these habits into your life, your behavior will change, and then you will be placed in a position to receive the increase from heaven that God designed and intended for you to have all along. Can you do that? Can we do that? All right. So let's just jump in. We started this last week. Let's do it again. Let's do a recital. Now, church, follow along and recite after your pastor. I'm not here for just a sermon. I am here to encounter the truth. And when that truth speaks, I will respond. So I can experience God's blessing through God's increase. Church, are you okay with that? Let's dive right in. Let's lay some foundation for the series. Starting right now, the title is The God of Increase. Some foundation, James 1:17. Church, every good and perfect gift is from where? Above, coming down from who? The Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. The scripture is saying God is the source, right? It is not, you have nothing in your life that God is going to bless you with that you self-generated. Now, that doesn't mean there's not human success, right? But that's called human engineering. And we could do that. But what we always seem to forget is behind the human success or the human engineering, there is a God that provided ability. And we're going to learn all about that in the weeks to come, starting today. The first command about increase, like the first command in the Bible, shows up in Genesis 1:27-28. It's the command from heaven for you and I to increase, to experience more. So God created human beings in his image. Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Now, we have read that scripture so much, but we don't really understand what fruitful and multiply mean. God put into you and I, he hardwired us with a certain ability to be fruitful and to multiply. And when you're not fruitful and you're not multiplying, you're going to feel it. And then we wonder why we're feeling the way we do. Well, God hardwired us to be fruitful and multiply. Let's watch what happens here, church. The word multiply in that scripture is the Hebrew word rabba. And it literally means, you know, I've been diving into the Hebrew and the Greek, right? Because it just seems like the Bible doesn't change, but the meaning is so much different. I read fruitful and multiply and a lot. You know, I've read that, you know, how many of us read that scripture? Probably 1,000 times. But when you start to get into it a little bit, it starts to like come alive, right? It comes alive. Increase in influence and numbers is what it means. You're going to increase in numbers. Bible says increase in numbers. Have babies. Right? Go. No, I'm just kidding. Right? Increase in numbers. But then it says to increase and multiply. Now, the word multiply really got me thinking. Multiply. What does that mean? You do look into what multiply means. It means exponential growth. Exponential growth. So there's increase there, and increase is like this. Church, increase is just adding something to make it larger. The Bible's full of that, right? For instance, let's do this. So if you have a penny and you add 10 pennies to it, you got 11 pennies. But then the next day, if you add 10 more pennies, you've got 21 pennies. And if you add 10 pennies every single day for 30 days, you have 310 pennies. I'm awful at math, but it is right, okay? And that's $5.01. Now, let's face it, that's not bad, right? I mean, you keep doing that or money or anything, you know, you're increasing. That's the increase. God didn't give us just standard increase. The Bible says God gave you exponential increase. The word multiply is an exponential. It means a percentage of increase through multiplying it. Let me give you the example. Now, I heard this when I was a kid. I challenged my mom when I learned about it, and you probably did the same thing, right? God says, take that penny or anything and double it the next day. Now you have 2 pennies, right? You've heard this before. Then the next day, the third day, you're going to double the 2 to the 4. And then you're going to double 4 to 8. And you're taking the doubling of the 8 to the 16, and the 16 to the 32, and the 32 to 64, and 128, and on, up to 30 days or whatever. This is called exponential increase. This is what God built into that scripture. Exponential increase, multiplying life. And if you do it just with a penny after 30 days, you get $5,368,709.12. Church, that is the exponential increase that God built into life. And you sit here today or watch online, we are the recipient of the multiplying of life exponentially through influence and numbers. You have more today and more ability than you ever had. I believe that we are underutilizing the exponential increase that God wired into our life. And it's there for the taking, but I don't think we capitalize on it as much as he wants us to do. He gave us exponential increase. Now, let's think about this thing, that this exponential increase. When a lady gets pregnant and she has a child, you know, the first thing that shows up inside that child, you know, to make the child is a cell, right? But the cell doesn't add 10 cells every day. That cell divides, and there's 2 cells. And then those 2 cells divide, and now there's 4 cells. You get the picture? There's the exponential increase that God placed. And when the baby is born, Science tells us there's over 1 billion cells in that child. 1 billion. And as the child becomes an adult, and those cells do continue to exponentially divide, now the child, an adult, has over 1 trillion cells. See, God wired us to multiply life. It's everywhere. And you're going to learn today, church, how much of exponential multiplying of life exists. He hardwired it into all of us. And now you're realizing maybe why the devil attacks us through abortion. Because abortion is the exact opposite of God hardwiring us exponentially to multiply life by numbers and influence. That's what the scripture means. So all of a sudden, there's 1 million babies killed every single year, 1 million plus, because the enemy attacks the command of increase in human life and attacks the exponential increase in human life. Now you're realizing why abortion is such a thing. That is why. Because it's an attack on the first command to us of increase. Now the scripture talks about a lot of multiplying exponentially of life and uses the agricultural theme, right? Lots of scriptures about agriculture and stuff in God's word. And think about how God hardwired plants, living plants. Okay, you take a seed, right, one seed, and you place it in the dirt, and a plant, right, comes up. And in that plant are seeds. For instance, if you put an apple seed in the ground and you grow an apple tree, I'd love to have an apple tree in my yard. That would be really cool. Go out there, right? I go out there on a beautiful summer day and just pick some apples. I kind of like that. But in every apple, there are 5 to 7 more seeds. So if you take those 5 to 7 seeds of all the apples on the tree and you place them, what happens? Exponential growth of multiplying of life. And scripture uses the agricultural example often. Look at Mark 4, 26 through 28. This is the parable of the growing seed. This is what the kingdom of God does look like. A man scatters a seed on the ground night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows. What does that mean? It means automatically life is being multiplied. Plant life. Church, you are much more important than a plant. Right? You are much more important. And I'm going to teach you today about all this exponential growth, multiplying, and how God places that concept, that hardwired in everything throughout maybe our daily lives. And I've picked a handful of things to show you and lay some groundwork of how God hardwired that inside of it. Now, we're going to talk about multiplying that, I'll call it multiplying increase. If you're looking at my notes, it's multiplying increase, and that was a covenant promise from heaven. Numbers of people that have influence. Genesis 15:5, let's read it together. And he brought him outside. God brought Abraham, later named Abraham, outside. And he says, look toward heaven and the number of the stars. My wife and I are doing this almost every night. We go outside on our back patio and we look at the stars. And there are tons of stars, right? This is what he did with Abram. And if you are able to even number them, then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. God is telling Abraham, that your offspring is going to have multiplied life, exponential growth of life, right? In numbers. There's the numbers shows up. We go to Genesis 17:6. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, he tells him. And I will make you into a nation, and kings shall come from you. He's telling him, now you're going to have exponential influence. You're going to have the numbers to start. Now you're going to have some serious influence. Why? Because back early on, God created life and put into life exponential growth. It's going to happen. And he's teaching him, and then he's making a promise to him that this is going to happen. Church, that has now trickled down to you and I. You sit here today, and you have this hardwired inside of you from day one, like way back, time of creation, right? Let's jump to Exodus 1:7. But the people of Israel were fruitful, and they increased greatly in numbers and influence, right? There it is, fruitful, increased. They multiplied, there's the multiplying of life, and grew exceedingly strong as they moved into Egypt, and they just, it just boomed. Right after the famine, they pulled into Egypt before slavery, and they just boomed. They boomed in numbers, and they multiplied in influence because God was with them. Greatly in Jerusalem, and then many, pardon me, I lost my place, but the people of Israel were fruitful and increased greatly. They multiplied, grew exceedingly strong, so that the land was filled with them. Somebody say filled. The church was then filled with people in numbers, and they were filled, it was filled with people with influence. That is you and I. And we're believing as a church in 2026 that it's going to increase in numbers and increase in influence. That's what's going to happen. Why? Because God said it would. God said it would, right? So this multiplication increase falls on our spiritual influence. Let's go to Acts chapter 6, verse 7. Right after the church was launched and the word of God continued to increase. Now the church was just launched, right? The power of heaven had come in and filled them and launched the church that you sit in today to increase the number of disciples that multiplied greatly in Jerusalem where they were. And a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. That means there's temple priests that were really kind of hesitant about the Jesus thing. This exponential multiplying of life thing was so powerful, and the Spirit was moving so mightily that those priests who said, I'm not sure about that Jesus guy, they turned, the Bible says. Why? Because God hardwired that into the spiritual influence, right? There were some problems developing in the early church, though. There are some problems, and you know, if you know the scripture, I just got a little sidebar here. There is some talk about how we distribute food, and you know, and how that's the scripture, and they're struggling, right? I don't mean to get too deep in here, but there's some couple of different groups of Jews, and you know, there's some that say we should do it this way, some that say we should do it that way, and they were just kind of have a little bit of a, that never happens in church, right? Never. Never. Not here, right? And so they're having some struggle. And they did this really wise thing. They went and got seven guys. And they appointed seven guys, a board, right? For lack of a better word, right? Can I say that, right? They put together seven. They said, listen, you handle the distribution of food because the disciples, you are the apostles, they've got some other things they've got to do. And that's the scripture. They're going to launch an increase because they got work to do. And now the church is being moving forward. And now today we have all that. We have the board of seven. We've got leadership. We have pastors. And that's the way it was set up. But in the midst of this kind of like conflict and in the midst of this struggle, the multiplying of life, the exponential growth, the scriptures and the word of God continue to increase. In the middle of some challenges, folks, in the middle of some struggles, the increase exponentially still was moving forward. You are not stopping God, no matter what. And God continued to remind us. This multiplication increase, this exponential increase falls on resources. Matthew 14, 17 through 21, Jesus feeding the 5,000 men and then women and children. God's exponential increase shows up here. Resources. Now, before I even read the scripture, think about your resource. Think about things you have. Pastor, I got some financial situations I'm struggling with. I got some other things. This concept, this biblical multiplying of life idea, positioning you for more shows up in your resources. What you think you have is not what God says you can get. That's the multiplication of resources. They said to him, we have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish. That's the resource they had. And there's 5,000 men plus women and children hungry. And he said, Jesus, bring them here to me. When he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing of exponential growth, exponential multiplying. Then he broke the loaves and he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds, and they ate, and they were what? Satisfied. They didn't even have to pay the check. They were satisfied. They took the 12 baskets full of the broken pieces that were left over, and those who ate were about 5,000 men besides the women and children. All were satisfied. Jesus used the multiplication of exponential growth through his power to meet both a physical and spiritual needs of the people. It shows up in our resources. Church, you're sitting on top of resources that God has hardwired to multiply. It is us who don't place us in a position to receive that increase. And my prayer, as God laid on my heart on sabbatical, was to teach you and teach the church that what we have available to us is far more powerful than maybe we realize or remember, right? It shows up in Matthew 25 and 14 through 30 as well. It's not going to be on the screen. This is the scripture of the talents. The master gave some of the servants talents, and they were in task with increasing them. And some did. Exponential growth, if you remember, doubled, right? But one didn't. The ones that did it were praised and honored. The one that didn't was rebuked. Church, don't be the one that gets rebuked, because it's hardwired into you. And there's example after example throughout God's word about this concept that we have available to us today. This multiplication increase falls on just a blessing. Now, Moses is on the edge of the promised land. Now, he's not going to take the people into it, but they've come out of slavery of 400 years. They're in the desert for 40. They're on the edge of a monumental blessing. Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 4, and if you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord, your God, being careful to do this, all the commandments that I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all nations on the earth. Anybody want that? Right? And all these blessings shall come upon you, and they will overtake you. They're not just going to show up, church. They're going to increase and overtake you. He's preparing them for something that they can't see yet or realize yet. It's going to overtake you. If, though, you obey the voice of the Lord your God. They've had some problems with that in the past, right? Just like all of us. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be in the fruit of your womb, blessed in the fruit of the ground, blessed in the fruit of the cattle, increase of your herds and your young flocks, if you obey. If you obey me, the increase shows up. Now, we already know that the increase is an exponential multiplying of life increase. Going to be big. I believe God waits for us to align ourselves in a position to receive it. I just am absolutely convinced that we need to position ourselves to receive the promises that he have. Multiplication is a tangible sign of God's blessing for your faithfulness. Now, Pastor, I've been faithful. I just haven't gotten it. Maybe you have it. You just don't recognize it. See, it doesn't have to be this huge thing. It could be a little thing. And we don't give God the honor for the little thing, so we don't get a bigger thing. I think, church, we have to be careful that we don't tell heaven what it should be and just receive what he provides. And honor it. My wife is just a just a gifted person on that concept. Everything she gives thanks for. It doesn't matter. And I may even catch myself saying this, but it's only. And she's quick to correct. But it's from heaven, so it is. Right? And guess what happens, church? Personalities show up. God has gifted us with exponential and multiplying of life and growth and increase, and you know, he's hardwired, and then we show up. Personalities show up, right? Paul's writing a letter to the church in Corinth because, well, you know, there's some division. Personalities and spiritual immaturity show up. What's going on? Well, they're forming some groups, and I'll call those groups loyalty groups. Some like Paul. Some like Apollos. Good Christian servant, right? Really good Christian servant. And so some are aligning over here. And some are aligning over here with Paul. That'd be like the church at Cross Point. Some are aligning with Pastor Mike or Pastor Amber or Pastor Nicole, whatever. And some are aligning with Pastor Brad and other, you know? And so what you got is a division. Now, the leaders aren't looking for that. And if you read the scripture, they talk about personalities. Well, he preaches better. He came to see me in the hospital. He's better. I was in a Bible study with him, and he was really gifted. He's better. And that's how we start to do. They missed everything. See, personalities show up. You want to stop a move of God, let a personality show up. That's what will stop a move of God. That's not the position that you want to be in, right? They started attaching success to personalities and not a move of heaven. So Paul uses this agricultural metaphor, and he writes in 1 Corinthians 3:6, he says it like this: I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So notice the division there. Notice the order. Notice how the division of responsibility shows up. I planted it. My good friend, my colleague in ministry, my friend comes along and he waters what I didn't water. He comes along and he waters it. But God showed up and he was the reason for the increase. Now, I want to teach you something here. We've read this scripture a million times, church, but let's jump in. Notice the human participation. I planted, I watered. He watered, right? Human participation. God will use human participation. But God is not dependent on human participation to pour out a blessing. But God did it. I'm just honored that God allows me to participate. I'm just happy I could be a servant and a soldier. As we prayed this morning, I'm so thankful in this church we have servants and soldiers. They may not preach on a Sunday morning, but as Robin taught us this morning, they're no less than the preacher. No less. Different calling, right? And so Paul's teaching us, and he says, gave growth here. In the Greek, love the Greek, it means he caused the increase. He didn't need anybody else, but he caused it. He used some other people. Now, I wonder, using you and I, who's that benefiting? Is it benefiting God or is it benefiting me? Boy, do I get blessed when I plant. Boy, do I get blessed when I water. Boy, do I get blessed when I watch God increase it. But here's the problem that happened there. People start to take credit for it. See, this is some writing that's called parallel clauses. You know, in Hebrew and Greek, especially Hebrew, really, they really enjoyed writing like in poems and poetry type thing. It was a thing, and you see that in the Bible, right? You see that. Well, this is what's called a parallel clause. And a parallel clause means I planted and I watered are really kind of like the same thing, right? Different function, but they're doing the same thing, right? And you see that in the scripture often. You see that in life. You know, it's out there, right? You see it a lot. I did this and they did that. But God's growth is independent because the word but shows up. It says, but however, I caused the increase. I am the father of the increase. That's how the church started. There's 120 in this place called the upper room. God poured out power, an exponential increase showed up. Right? After the personalities show up, human ego shows up. You thought personality was human ego. It's not. You know, there's an obscure portion of scripture in the Apostle John talking and you know, where John the Baptist actually speaks and he's writing about this. And here's what happened. John the Baptist was a baptizer. Right? He baptized Jesus, right? He's a baptizer, right? Well, Jesus starts to baptize people, right? And some people like John the Baptist baptizing people. Some people like Jesus baptizing people. Now you got some ego showing up. And John writes in chapter 3, verse 30, here's what he writes with John the Baptist speaking. He says, he must increase when dealing with this situation. He's got to increase. He must increase, Jesus, but I have to decrease. Now, on a message of position for more, God is the source and multiplying all this stuff we're talking about. You would think that the decrease is counterproductive, right? You would think that it's counterproductive. No, it's necessary. It is a core biblical principle that says less of me and more Jesus, right? John is making the argument that there needs to be a shift in order for God to show up and grow us, increase us exponentially. We got to shift, and Jesus needs to be the center. It doesn't matter. The word must there is the Greek word day, and it means it's required that you do this. It's not a choice. It's a requirement. Let me give you an example of people requiring, you know, going after personal growth in their life. I'm at the coffee shop the other day, and I see two young girls. They couldn't have been more than 20. And on the coffee shop table, you know, they had just made that their desk, and there are Bibles, and they were the thick Bibles, right? The ones I have on my desk, the ones you have on at your office or your home. And remember reading the thick study. They had two of those big, thick study Bibles, and they had papers everywhere. Now, I'm a pastor, and I'm intrigued when I see young girls reading God's Word. And they're pouring over it, like painfully pouring into the Word. And they had papers, and they're writing. And so finally, after about several minutes, 15, 20 minutes, I said, ladies, girls, what's going on? And they said, we're studying the Bible. I said, no kid. Right? I said, I noticed that you had the 5-inch thick Bible there, and I just wonder, who are you doing this for? Like, what school? Like college? Nobody. Mm-mm. Which church are you doing this with? No church. And then the one girl looks at me, grabs this paper, says, but we got this thing that the church put out last year. It's called such and such, and you know, we can fill it in, and we can work. I said, well, what are you doing it for? My own personal growth. Personal growth. I said, tell me about that. I just want God to increase me. I said, thank you, Lord. See, God gives you the examples to speak on a Sunday morning. I said, girls, have at it. Have at it. This multiplication thing shows up in preparation. Now, on the first Sunday of January, folks, I introduce the scripture that Pastor Mike has used many times and talked about it, to prepare the house, right? Back in ancient times, people, a lot of the nomadic tribes, and people would move about and they put up a tent, and when they move on, they would tear down the tent, and that was a thing, right? You're just, many of, if not all of you, are blessed to go home to a house, right? You don't have to go to the tent and know that you got to move because you're being displaced and have to move that tent and take it down and take it to someplace else and put it back up so you have some structure to live in. Back then, it wasn't so comfortable like that, right? And I read this scripture. We diagrammed it a little bit, but we're going to do it again because there's some gold nuggets that we have not seen, and we're going to do it again. Isaiah 54, 2 through 3, it says, enlarge the place of your tent. Thank you, Pastor Mike, for reciting this. Enlarge the place of your tent. He bought in and knows the power of exponential growth, and he started to do that while we were gone, by cleaning God's house and making changes and doing things and pouring into you and pouring into the building. Stretch your tent curtains wide and don't hold back. Lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, for you will be spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispose us, drive out means nations, and settle in their desolate cities. Wow. I'm going to get what somebody else has because they're not serving and I am. Needed three things as the preparation happened. For them to receive a powerful increase. The Bible says they enlarged the place of their tent. That's the house. That's the capacity. You know, back then, the family got bigger. They had to increase the tent. My family's growing. Well, you need a bigger tent. Today, we say, my family's growing. I need a bigger. Same thing. I need a bigger tent. And it's got to be stronger because those kids are wiry. Right? Crayons all over the wall. Right? Got to scrub with my magic eraser. Get that off. Right? The capacity must increase. Let me give you some examples. Noah built an ark just because he's told to. Abraham left his house for an unknown destination because he was told to. Disciples gathered in an upper room just because they were told to. That's all preparation for something to come that they didn't know when it would arrive. Church, what are we expecting from God in 2026? Are you expecting and believing for this exponential growth of increase, both by numbers and influence? Or do we come to church for just activity? I went to church today, Pastor. It's good. It's good. I'll be back next week. Activity, right? Lots of activity. Some people are good at activity, but maybe we're not so good at preparing. See, increase requires work. Then it says, stretch those curtains. Stretch the curtains. See, growth requires some stretching. It's going to hurt. It's going to take some work. It's going to hurt us a little bit. That's the tension building. Now, just to place it in your life, it's going to be hard in your life because God's going to ask you to do something you haven't been doing or you don't want to do. That's moving beyond your comfort zone. That's like some new responsibilities that God needs in the house, the tent, but nobody is supplying, so he stretches you. And let me stretch you this morning. Let me take a practical example and show you what that means based on the Bible. This church has been in need of nursery workers and cleaning personnel for months. Your pastor, by God's mandate, is going to have a Bible study starting on April 22nd on a Wednesday night, but we don't have the nursery workers to accommodate it. I said, God, I don't have the nursery where I can't, you know, the family's going, you're going to do it because I'm going to multiply life. You're going to teach the habits of divine increase. Okay. The people will be stretched. Challenge them to be stretched. I sent an email to Pastor Christine. I said, I need a stretching I'm in. And on the tables in the back, folks, there's these cards that say, I'm in. Because before the tent increases, the people have to be stretched, the Bible says. So I'm going to ask our First Impressions team to come down here. Your pastor needs nursery workers for Wednesday, or I can't teach. And I don't believe that God doesn't want me to teach where he's told me to teach. So I'm going to ask for as many people that want to get involved. You only have to do one Wednesday. I'm not asking you to do a bunch. If you want to do some cleaning, we'd love to have you, Pat. You know, we'd love to have you. Robin, give me a shout. Amen. Amen. Because people are being stretched. So I'm going to ask, if you're being told by heaven right now, I want you to raise your hand because I need a stretch. I need somebody. I need some people willing to come in on a Wednesday and have our children taken care of in this church. They will give you a card and you're going to say, Pastor, I'm in. I'm okay with being stretched because that's the preparation in the house to get the multiplied increase of life in the house. We got to teach the people. They got to be stretched. I need people to raise their hand and say, Pastor, that is me. I'm willing to be stretched. I'll take on new responsibility. You're going to get a background check done on you. Don't worry, you'll pass. Right? Anybody else? Raise your hand. Is there anybody else? We need nursery workers, specifically on Wednesday night. Is there anybody else willing to do that? To be stretched as they make their way through the worship center. If that is you, raise your hand. If you're, don't raise your hand today. You certainly can raise your hand and go to the welcome center, to the VIP center, and talk to our first impressions team. The third thing the scripture says is to strengthen the stakes. Now, that's kind of a strange command, to strengthen the stakes. Well, when you increase the tent, the stakes get a little shaky because they're not as strong as they need to be because the place is getting bigger. So the scripture says you've got to strengthen those stakes. And so we do. Before the tent can get larger, what holds it together has got to be strengthened. What holds this house together is you and I. So for the next 8 weeks, we're going to be strengthened, God tells me, to hold the house together and multiply it in numbers and influence. You're going to know more in 8 weeks than you know today, right? Are we willing to be strengthened, church? Are you willing? See, God always asks people to prepare for what he's intending to do. He's always asking us to prepare for what he is going to do. We may not see it, we may not feel it, but God's going to do it. And we've got to prepare ourselves. Isaiah 54, 2 is the command, don't hold back. Don't hold back. Plant the seed, church, for more. Allow exponential growth to show up, not only in your life, but the life of your church and your family. You may be the person that God has selected in your house. You may be the only one of all the people in your home or your extended family. You might be the only one God has imparted to do this. You have to be the leader. Isaiah says something very prophetic. You will spread out to the right and to the left. That's expansion. That's divine increase. And then there's a promise in that scripture, and it says like this: your descendants will dispose of nations, possess, and inhabit their land. Drive them out. Church, if you got something in your life right now that needs to be driven out, this is your time to drive it out. This is how you position yourself for more of heaven. You may have something in your life that I just been dealing with this for so long. It's controlling me, whatever that may be. How you position yourself for the increase will determine whether you receive the blessing of heaven. Why does God do all this for us? Colossians 1:10 says, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. Bearing fruit. That's influence, bearing fruit in every good work, growing then in the knowledge of God, in the knowledge of the Lord, especially for the next 8 weeks. So let's talk about what we talked about this morning. God uses this multiplication of life principle in His Word to fulfill His promises. We talked about that. To display His provision and to display His power. I don't know about you, I want that power in my life more than it is. I want it to be multiplied. He does it to expand His kingdom, but He does it to bless His people. My question this morning, are you aligned with Christ and what He's prepared to do in your life? You were made for more, church. We were made for more. We were made to be multiplied, both in numbers and influence. You hold the power in your life. Don't allow the enemy to steal it from you. As our worship team begins to play this song, I'm going to challenge you to come to the altar and raise your hands and believe that God has something in your life that He wants more out of you. You're going to position yourself right here and right now at an altar, and you're going to take something out so you can put something in. That's a capacity change. And our prayer team, if they're available, they can come up and pray with you. But church, don't miss the moment of opportunity. Let's come to an altar and believe.
Oh, who I am. yeah, you give them a praise offering today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Church, don't leave these altars or leave this building today and allow the enemy to steal an increase from you. Coming to the altar, as you will learn in the weeks to come, will position you for an exponential touch from heaven. The enemy doesn't want you at an altar. Why? Because this is where the change starts. At the altar of church, let us not forsake the time at the altar. There's no place we need to go to right now, church, but the altar. You're not going to starve today, I promise you. Raise your hands to heaven, church, so I can pray over you. Father God, in Jesus' name. Father God, the people at Christ Point Church, we believe that you have called us for more. Lord God, I pray right now, divine blessing upon each and every one of the people at Cross Point Church, both on-site and online. I pray, Lord God, as we raise our hands of surrender, that there will be an exponential change of a multiplication of life inside of us. If we need health, health will be restored. If we need wholeness, wholeness will be restored. If we need something taken out, Lord God, rip it from us and deliver to us a change and give us the increase, the more that we need. Father God, in Jesus' name, here's the more I pray for. For the last 3 months, Lord God, I prayed for more of you. Lord God, give me more. I just want more of you, Lord God. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what you ask me to do. I don't care where you ask me to go. Lord God, I don't care who you ask me to touch. Lord God, just give me more of your presence. That's what I need. Every health ailment, every situation, everything that challenges our lives, all we need is an exponential increase in presence to eradicate everything. We thank you for that, Lord. Lord God, as you dispatch us from Cross Point Church, Lord God, let us grab an invite card and take it to people so there's an exponential increase in numbers in the weeks and months to come, so people are transformed because you called the church to reach the unsaved. Lord, let us do that. In the mighty, mighty name of Jesus, I pray. My brothers and my sisters at Cross Point said with me, amen. Give him a praise offering today, church. Hallelujah. As God dispatches us from the altar, let's go out singing the same song that brought us to the altar. God's made us for more. God bless the church. Hallelujah.